Lee Johnson.
I walk 47 miles of barbed wire. I use a cobra snake for a necktie. I got a brand new house on the roadside, made from rattlesnake hide. I got a brand new chimney made on top, made out of a human skull.
Jan Novák left Kolín in communist Czechoslovakia, a teenager, in 1969. He emigrated with his parents to Chicago, where he studied and started to chronicle Czech life in the Windy City. In more recent years, he's written screenplays for Miloš Forman and a critically acclaimed biography of fellow Czech-Americans Josef and Stirad Mašín. He's settled back in Prague for the medium term, teaching at the city's film school, FAMU. When I met him in a cafe by the banks of the Vltava recently, I started by asking him about his first spell in this country and life in 1960s small-town Czechoslovakia.
Basically, it was a very insular society, very homogeneous. First time I saw a black person was when I was maybe 12 or something. Then this one black guy moved to Kolín, and he was, of all things, a great sprinter. He was on the track and field team. He worked at the post office, so... that was that. And otherwise, there was like no other ethnic anybody. And life was about basically making trouble, typical boy's life, sports.
All right, and so why did your family decide to move to Chicago in 1969?
Well, it was a matter of deciding to leave because my dad had been embezzling money on the job, and we were leaving just right before his embezzlement became public. And so it was just a question of getting out of the country. That was the race. We went for a 4-day trip to Vienna, and eventually we wound up staying in Vienna for 10 months, waiting to go into the U.S. We went to Chicago because my father started writing to different Czech organizations from a refugee camp, and the people that answered him his letters were some people from Chicago who found us an apartment, furnished apartment, found him a job to get started. So
you've written a series of short stories on the Czech community in Chicago, which is famously the biggest Czech community, I think, in the United States historically and even now. Did you sort of find yourself bang in the middle of a Czech community when you moved there?
Yeah, I did. The place we moved to, the suburb called Cicero, was heavily Czech. I went to a high school that had maybe 50 Czech kids there at the time, so we were kind of a subgroup in the lunchroom, and which was good because I didn't speak any English, so you know, there were girls I could date and stuff. And my first connection to America was playing soccer. I was playing on the school team, so I had people sucking up to me like the B players, you know, stuff. That was good. I proceeded slowly to, you know, move away from the Czech culture into the American culture.
Why did you decide then to write one of your first books then on that Czech culture in Chicago in particular?
It was an instinctive decision. I went to school and they had a prize of $1,000 for the best story, short story. So I sat down and wrote a short story, and I just basically wrote it. I knew then the age-old verity that you know you write best about what you know best. So you know, I wrote about the world that I knew about, and that's the first story in the book, written from a point of view of a little kid whose parents had gone to Las Vegas to get a divorce, and his uncle's giving him lectures on Czech history, which the kid jumbles up. You know, the story won the contest. I'd written it in Czech, then I translated it into English, submitted it. It was published by the school newspaper, University of Chicago student paper. And, you know, nothing happened. And then maybe 2 months later, all of a sudden, it finally penetrated the consciousness of the Czech community in Chicago, and everybody was upset about things in the story. The confusion in the mind of this naive narrator was ascribed to me. You know, there were a couple of articles published in local papers, you know, kind of attacking me and stuff. So I sat down and wrote a young man's angry letter telling them to get off my back. They didn't publish my rebuttal to their articles, of course, and I thought I fell asleep again. And then all of a sudden I got a letter from Josef Škvorecký, the writer and at that time a budding publisher of Six Day Publishers, saying that, asking me if I had more stories like that, that he would like to publish a book by me, you know, if I did. So I sat down and wrote more stories from that world. And I wrote them basically, well, you know, I always find some model to copy, and Balzac's got stories where they are connected just through the characters. So that was my model, you know, writing that book.
Okay, Balzac does that. Another author who does that is Bohumil Hrabal. You know, you said just there that you find that you write best from experience. You've said before that you think of yourself maybe as a bit of a sort of as a piece of a tell, like someone who makes observations about those around them. And that's Hrabal's kind of phrase that you were quoting then. Would you say that he's also been a very big influence and was then when you were writing those stories?
I'm sure, especially in that first story, you know, Hrabal's all over the place. I was very influenced by him. I was 23 or something when I wrote it, and I loved Hrabal since I discovered him at the age of 15, 16, something. So definitely, he, you know, he remains one of the best Czech writers that I know. You know, I still love him. I should probably reread some stuff again. It's been a while.
A lot of your books have come out in both English and Czech, and I know that you don't just translate books, like, word for word, that you also kind of edit those translations to make them more appropriate. Like, in what way would you do that sort of work?
You know, there's certain things that some set of readers knows instinctively about. You don't have to explain. It's assumed. You know, you can jump over it. Other people may not know it. So if you have to fill it in for the Americans, let's say, then you want to do it in an interesting way where it might twist the common, you know, ground that the Czechs will have and entertain them as well. You know, so it becomes complicated. But I know that if I'm rewriting, I don't do it when I translate somebody else's work, obviously. You know, even though sometimes I'm really tempted to help them along. But since I'm translating my own stuff, I can do whatever with it. So I will tailor it to the audience in a way that I hope entertains them.
This, again, is back to Chicago Striptease. The language that you wrote that book in is very unusual and quite funny. Is that the way that Czechs in Chicago speak, a sort of odd pidgin of, you know, American Czech? Chenglish?
Yeah, it's somebody called it, I think Škvorecký called it Chenglish. No, that's exactly how they speak, you know. And there's a certain strange poetry that kind of evolves from the hybridization of the two languages, which I find exciting. You know, I've been, there are writers who are processing the world through the eye, there are writers who are processing the world primarily through the ear. I belong to the latter category. Hrabal did both. And so I find my only really genuinely American book, Grand Life, was inspired by the language around computers. You know, it's kind of very limiting psychologically, yet it has to do in all kinds of human situations, you know. And certain kind of skewed poetry results that kind of excited me, you know, similarly, because it was a similar hybridization of, you know, different things clashing and, you know, and the sparks that it gives off that really excited me.